Public hearing is conditional use number 2074 Quail Valley 1525 LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial use as a therapy and fitness center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.113 acres more or less. The property located on the north side of Savannah Road, approximately 2,150 feet west of Dove Drive. The 911 address is 1523 Savannah Road, Lewis. The tax district is District 335, map 12.06, parcel 1, and staff would submit for the record a staff report, comments back from the Natural Resources Conservation Service regarding the soil types and conditions, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division that does note that they are in a sewer district, the results from the DLDOT service level evaluation request, and there is also a conceptual site plan and an exhibit booklet. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Glenn Mandalis. I'm an attorney with Baird Mandalis Rockstead. We have offices throughout the state, but an office in Lewis, or just outside of Lewis on Savannah Road, not far from the property that's the subject of tonight's public hearing. Joining me this evening are Rich Garrett and Janet Heinholt, who are sitting here. They're the principals in the project. Zach Crouch is also here. He's a professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. Thank you first for providing this opportunity to describe the project this evening. It's known as Gateway Motion and Fitness. It is in land designated as AR1, Agriculture Zoning District, and it's just over 6 acres on the north side of Savannah Road heading into Lewis. We're seeking a conditional use to construct a 67,500 square foot building for therapy and fitness, and I'll just mention that it's a conditional use rather than a change in zone. As you know, a change in zone would allow a whole variety of uses versus a conditional use, which would only permit that one use that's being sought. Midway, this is kind of a carry-on story from the Midway Fitness facility. Midway Fitness is a gym and fitness center behind the Midway Cinemas on Coastal Highway. That property was purchased, and that business was purchased in 2013 by Mr. Garrett. He was purchased it really with a goal of having sort of the cleanest, friendliest, best valued fitness center in the region. That goal quickly led to an increased membership, and it also led to a partnership with the Parkinson's Support Program in 2014, which then moved even further on to a relationship with the CAPE Center for Movement Disabilities. And that's predominantly the reason this team would like to move from the Midway facility to the new Gateway facilities, because it got very heavily involved with movement disability patients and wanted to provide a gym that would accommodate those things. Now, there's a lot of other reasons they want to do this fitness center as well, but that's been a strong driving force behind this new facility. So Gateway Motion and Fitness would be a gym, a wellness center, and a community center, all in one building. So the new building would house the Gateway Motion and Fitness. It would house the CAPE Center for Movement Disabilities, and it would potentially house a outpatient office for BB Hospital. There's some discussions going on right now about that. The amenities in this facility would include 4 racquetball courts, a pool and therapy pool, locker rooms with showers, steam and sauna, massage therapy suite, expanded group exercise classes, a functional fitness area, and a boxing area, to name just a few of the things that would be in that facility. Now, in line with what Midway has done for some time, the new Gateway facility would continue to support the Children's Beach House. It would sponsor local sports teams and work with consortium kids and other community organizations. Likewise, the new Gateway facility will offer discounted rates for public servants, such as police and firefighters. Let me talk just briefly about the owners, just for a minute, because I think it's relevant, because typically in a project like this, we think of developers. Rich and Janet are not the traditional developers. Rich and Janet live in the community. Rich's home is very close to this property. He lives just outside of Lewis. Janet lives in Gill's Neck. And in addition to Rich's work at Midway Fitness, he's also the executive director at the Children's Beach House in Lewis. And Janet's heavily involved with the Beach House as well. She probably wouldn't be happy to hear me say this, but she's what they call a partner donor, which means she's a high-level contributor. So my point in saying that is that not only are Rich and Janet invested in the community. They're members of this community. So accordingly, they're not going to want to do something that isn't appropriate. So then in that same line, they did conduct a community meeting about a week, not quite a week ago. And to be clear, that public meeting was not to do anything to take away from this process. The public process has to play out. It's important that it does. But we wanted to hear if there were concerns from the community. And we did hear some concerns. For example, this facility is adjacent to the Villages at Five Points East. There are several properties that back up to where this facility would be located. There's a green belt that runs along it, and Zach's going to show some pictures. I guess you can see it over here. It's not shown so well on here. Can I show this? Is this touchless? I'm sorry. Can you show me that green belt is?
That area.
Right. So right in this area, there's already some existing trees on the HOA's property, and the owners expressed a desire to have a better shield between their property and this facility. That was one of the concerns they raised. Another concern, all reasonable concerns, by the way, was noise from the facility, and another was lighting from the facility. So Rich and Janet have already discussed it, and they not only do they agree that the green belt needs to be extended, they're willing to extend it, and not only extend it, but expand it by a depth of 3 trees all the way down, 8 to 10 foot trees. They've also agreed to put all the HVAC equipment on the top of the building and use as low noise types of equipment as they can to limit any kind of noise. They've agreed to use lighting that would be shielded and turned only into their property. At nighttime, we would use some sort of motion sensitive stuff so it wouldn't be on. So my point is that Rich and Janet, or these principals, are very open to listening to concerns and doing what they can to address them. Oh, and by the way, they've agreed to offer discounted memberships for anybody in the Villages of Five Points East. So this is a conditional use approval. Conditional use approvals are not reviewed under the same rigorous standards as our zoning changes. Basically, there's been a legislative decision already that this proposed use is appropriate in this zoning designation. And so long as the statutory requirements are satisfied, there's a rebuttable presumption that the application should be approved. So when you're looking at, for example, a change in zone, there's a much more rigorous test you go through to see if things are in the character of the neighborhood, to see if certain health, welfare, safety items are addressed. This isn't that same test. Those things are relevant, of course, but here there's been a legislative determination that because this is a conditional use, something that would be allowed in this zoning district, should we meet the statutory requirements, the application should be approved. But even if you were to apply the more rigorous zoning type analysis for a change in zone, it's important to note, I think, that from the city of Lewis up to Old Orchard Road going west of the city, since 1980, there's been 27 conditional uses approved in this area. I only know of one that was denied, and that was ultimately approved through the court system. So conditional use approvals are relatively common in this area. I think one was approved just recently, 2 parcels away from this one. It's a good project. It's not inconsistent with the county's comprehensive plan. I think it's good for this neighborhood, and I hope you will agree and recommend an approval. With that, Mr. Kraft, do you want to talk about the technical merits?
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Boner Friedel, and I'm going to kind of summarize the booklet that was presented and kind of go over some of the things that we did to incorporate into the site plan. And we'll answer any questions if you have them. As Mr. Mandel has stated, the current property is zoned AR. Is located off of Savannah Road.
Excuse me.
I want to ask you to pull that microphone a little closer. I think some folks are having a little trouble hearing you.
Located on Savannah's Road. The aerial that we have up now kind of shows it in perspective of Five Points, Savannah's Road, and Covey Creek, which is just to the northeast, and there's several other developments within the area, just to give you an idea. The proposed project is a conditional use for 67,500 square foot therapy and fitness center. The property is located in a level 2 per the 2015 state strategy map, and is also located in an environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. The project itself consists of 6.113 acres, and the main access would be on Savannah's Road. The environmental features of this project, there's no wetlands that's on site, which have been verified by our environmental consultants. We are in an excellent recharge area, which there again, that'll be affected in our stormwater management, where everything will be infiltrated either through infiltration ponds or underground storage. And we also are within the Inland Bays pollution control strategy, which we have to abide by the county's requirements for reduction of nitrogen and phosphorus. Traffic, there's a letter sent to the county on November 22nd. 2016. We met with DLDOT on May of 2016, and as part of the SLER process, submitted the projected trips for this project, and DLDOT summarized in their letter that an area-wide study fee would be required, no TOA would be required, and traffic impact study, since we're in the range based on DLDOT's requirements, the developer would have to pay $9,180 per the area-wide study fee. With that being said, the entrance that will be constructed on Savannah's Road will consist of a protective left lane and also a right turn lane to the site. So that way there's stacking that's available for the traffic going down Savannah's Road, in which, you know, they can have a clear path into the site itself. Todd Water would be the water provider for both fire and potable water. And as Mr. McDonald stated,
exactly. I got it. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
Just bend that thing a little bit this way. There you go. You're an engineer.
I love being on the mic.
I knew you'd figure it out. All that education finally paid off.
We are within the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and there is sewer capacity available for this particular project. Stormwater management. Again, as stated, we are in an excellent recharge area, so the stormwater management will include infiltration and bioretention and also underground storage. We are within the Cape and Lipton School District, and we are also within the City of Lewis Volunteer Fire Department. Electric will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op. And to go over the site specifics, I'm just going to run through the site, and as we have it proposed, we have 322 per county code. We have 322 parking spaces designated for this project, as well as two loading spaces. We have stormwater management facilities located here and here, in which there again will be a combination of infiltration and bioretention. We will have a small portion of the stormwater management that would be stored underground, but there again, the whole purpose of that would be for infiltration as well. We are in an excellent recharge area. The access point will be off of Savannah's Road, and there is circulation throughout the whole site, which meets fire state fire marshal requirements. The building would be sprinklered as well. Around our perimeter, there will be an eight-foot high fence. Which here's a cross section of what is being proposed from an existing house to a fence to existing trees to the building. From an aerial view, this is somewhat of what the architectural features are going to look like in reference to the building itself and how there's going to be a drop-off area in the front, and that way it can control traffic flow, and parking will be divided on the east side and also the northwest side. We are going to include some trees around the perimeter, and just like Mr. Mandela stated, the type of lighting that's going to be associated with this is going to be definitely low-level lighting and going to be designed so it is per it's on a timer or security. One of the things that I want to go over is at the meeting, that the principals had with the adjacent properties owners, there was some concern about the existing houses in the back and, of course, this 50 to 60 foot greenway that exists today. And as part of some of the discussions, what the principals would like to do is try to enhance that area and take advantage of the greenway. This is just a couple renderings of what this would look like, so the residents that live in that area would see how this would actually look over a number of years. But these would be the plantings. What they would do is plant trees along this along this property line, just so everybody's aware, right in here, along this whole property line, all the way down. This is what it would look like within 2 years. Actually, I think it's almost a year. Yeah, almost
a year.
First one
is what it looks like now.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is what it looks like now. This is what they would plant. And then this is what it would look like. So there again, trying to, not sure what some of these residents might discuss once they have a opportunity to speak, but this is something that the principals has discussed with them, or at least want to show them as something that they're willing to do. And in closing, I just wanted to kind of go over what Mr. Mandela's talked about in reference to the area, just to give the county an idea of what's happening in the area. The subject parcel is, of course, right in this area here, and there are a number of change of zones and conditional uses within the area. That pretty much concludes my presentation. Janelle, I just want to ask her if she has a copy of the Delta letter, because I didn't see it in the file.
If I could have a copy.
It was sent to the county, but I mean, I didn't see it, so I just wanted to make sure it's in the file.
We'll make sure it's in the file.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you.
And that does conclude our presentation.
Oh, all right then.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
Thank you. I do have some questions. You answered some of them because a lot of them were on lighting and shielded lighting and houses behind you, so you've answered some of those. But will this take the place of the Midway facility? Will that be shut down and this will become the Midway Fitness Center?
I think that's correct, Rich. Yeah. Midway will be closed and all of that operation will be moved to this new facility.
Okay. What hours are you looking to operate?
Rich, do you want to come up with some of these you might be able to answer as well?
Yeah. Sure.
Let me introduce Rich Garrett for the record. And so hours, we did discuss reducing hours.
We did. We're a 24-hour fitness gym now. And in order to fit better into this community, we've decided to try to be open from 5 in the morning till, I'm doing this from memory, till 11 at night, and on weekends, 8 to 8.
All right, and then did you want to have a sign to go out front? Or?
Yes.
And then you said shielded lighting, and you'd have it on a timer at night so that it would go, the lighting would go out and then just come on if with motion detectors.
That's right. Plan? That's what we're hoping to do.
Okay. Good. I'm big on dark skies, too. So another question I had is, do you think you need 322 spaces? I know that's what was calculated with the requirements, but based on what you...
No, I wish that we would need 300 and however many spaces, but I do think that we have too many parking spaces, and if there's a way to reduce that and meet the requirements, we would be absolutely thrilled with that.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot of impervious surface on an area that has been green for a long time. Okay. And do you have any ideas what type of, how much parking you might need? I mean, based on what your current operation is or how this is going to work?
Right now, I don't think we ever have more than between 60 and 75 cars in our lot. Off the top of my head, I think 200 would be ample.
Okay. All right. Just me asking. So this will be a fitness facility, but it'll also, you're looking to be medical as well. Would it be doctors, therapists?
It would be a gym. And then in addition to that, we would have the CAPE Center for Movement Disabilities, which works with movement disabled folks. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, we're working with BB Hospital with the potential of bringing their outpatient physical therapist to the center. And then that way we can offer a continuum of care for folks that come to our program or who are in physical therapy and need a program afterwards.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Those are all the questions I had.
Thank you. Mr. Rapp.
I think one of y'all referred to a 50-foot buffer. The green line is that it looks like it there's a little bit of a radial. Would that be at the tightest area, or is
that
an average?
And actually it's probably a little bit more than that, but that's it's around a 50 foot. I mean, that's just scaling it off a 50 foot greenway, which is in here. That'd
gotcha.
Be at the
that's just, that would be the tightest.
Yes.
And and have you talked to the who owns that greenway?
It would be the HOA that owns.
Okay, that's the development.
Yeah.
So and have you did you talk with that idea of putting the trees, adding some trees in there?
We've made that offer, and I guess everything's contingent upon where all this ends up at the end of the day.
And I thought I understood you to say maybe three deep or something, but the picture showed one straight line.
So what exists now?
Can we go back to that drawing you were at before? Sorry about that. Just more of this.
You can't really see it in because it's grayed out, but there's a pretty good tree line going about to there. And when I say a pretty good tree line, I mean there are some tall evergreens that are about 15 feet tall. And there's some space between them. So what we were offering to do is to extend them down the rest of the line of the property and to buy 8 to 10 foot trees that grow about 3 feet a year and to match exactly what's there now, or to discuss with the POA what they would like to have there, and then to go back and fill in between the trees so that, in essence, it wouldn't be flat like that picture that Zach showed us. It looks like a flat hedge. It would, but the goal is to have trees and then trees in between the trees so that it blocks the whole view. I hope that's clear.
So it would. I'm assuming that you would probably, whatever would be acceptable to them is what you all would want to do.
Absolutely.
But it sounds like instead of that straight line like we saw in the one picture, you're thinking something more of a pattern so that you can't look directly through, but you can walk through.
That's correct.
Type concept.
And Mr. Hopkins, I think the whole goal there was to show that, you know, these folks are willing to work with HOA to accommodate whatever they think is reasonable.
Right.
And there again, to show that there is going to be, they want to do something that's going to screen it, if that's the main concern.
Well, it looked on the first picture like a line had been started, but just maybe not finished.
On the front of the booklet, you can see it really clearly. There's an existing green tree line, and it just ends.
And how far is that tree line off your property?
I'm guessing 20 feet, maybe.
And that's that. If you were to make a straight line, it would probably be about in line with that same 20 foot.
Again, if you notice, the property curves around the POA property, and so it would be up to them if they wanted it straight or wanted it to curve. It makes no difference to us.
I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Hudson.
Just want to confirm one thing on one of your drawings here. The back of these people's lots that come close to your property, do they stop and that's just a common ground there, am I correct, between your property and their property?
That's correct.
That it's owned by their homeowners association?
That's correct.
Okay.
So in essence, it wouldn't be on their property. It would just be in the common ground between the subject property in the back of their backyards.
He had basically had the same questions I did, but I just wanted to confirm in my own mind that that's not, you wouldn't be putting proper trees on their property.
That's correct.
Okay.
That it?
Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Mr. Ross?
Yeah, Mr. Sharp, I just want to confirm that we can reduce these parking spaces. Is that correct?
Yeah, the commission does have the authority under 164 to grant waivers to the parking requirements if they're clearly excessive and unreasonable.
And given that, and given Ms. Hoey Stevenson's question to you about parking, and I agree, it seems a bit excessive, very excessive actually, if we were to reduce the parking by a third, couldn't you reconfigure your building to allow a greater rear yard setback? At its wide, its width, it's 228 feet. So I'm just asking, could you make that building not that wide and maybe lengthen it into the area that's been freed up from parking, which would give you a greater rear yard setback?
Right. So the best way that I can answer that is, of course, we could build that building that way. We've been struggling. The first time we put estimates together for what we wanted to build, it was a $20 million project, and we can't afford $20 million. So what we're trying to do is buy a building that's it's pre-manufactured in some sense, or some parts of it. So I don't know. We'd need the architect to tell us whether it could be lengthened and changed. I don't know that. If it could be, and if that would make a difference, we would certainly consider it.
Well, I mean, the discussion thus far has been centered on what you can do on someone else's property, and this is an application of conditional use on property that you have an interest in. Mm-hmm. So we can condition your property. We mm-hmm. can condition theirs. Right. And yet I understand if I was living in one of those homes, I too would be concerned about this large building going up. the activities going across, both the aesthetics and the noise lights and everything. So I can understand, you know, those types of objections or concerns. And what I'm thinking is, instead of focusing on what you don't control, someone else's property, you know, I would prefer to focus on what we do control, which is where your application is. And if you could have a 30-yard setback, then you have 20 feet for trees. You've got another 10 feet for just grass and maintenance against the building, so you don't have trees right against your building. And basically, you can solve those problems without worrying the HOA. And I can understand your site constraints given the parking that was required, but once we relieve that, that gives you more flexibility. And so that's what I'm thinking about. And you understand, Zach, I know you do to a great degree. I mean, this commission has a lot of latitude in placing conditions on a conditional use.
And I mean, as far as the parking, as you well know, I mean, there is a significant amount of impervious area here. So, of course, by the reduction, of course, you know, it's going to help with stormwater management. We would be able to pull some of the parking, you know, away from the property line, which there again would allow us to put a 20-foot buffer in there, a planted buffer, instead of the fence or both. But the reduction is definitely is the way to go. Now, the only thing I would say in reference to the building, I know Rich and them have already been working with an architect about the layout of the building based on the specific needs for some of the special needs that they're doing. And that would be my only, I mean, you know, removing some of the parking, yes, we could pull everything in and provide that buffer along the back. But the building itself, we really can't move it unless they get to a totally different building, move it any closer to Savannah Road because of that access way in front of that.
If I may interject here, I agree with the parking on the discussion with the parking. I think and listen, and I appreciate that what you've done is absolutely compliant with what county code says you have to do.
Right.
I know that's what it's required, and I know that it yields that many spaces. But I share Mr. Ross's thought that the parking could probably be reduced some, just because your activity just doesn't. In fact, I'm not even sure the fire marshal would approve you for 300 people in that building, you know, at one time, based on the type of business you have. So I can see that. I'm not sure that you could get the building far enough away to from the property line to really make a significant difference, even with that. I mean, if you could move it 100 feet away, that might be something, but I don't see how you would ever be able to do that. But it is something that perhaps you could consider, but at this point we're still trying to figure out if this is even appropriate use for the land. So, but that would certainly be a consideration.
Well, you know, my inclination at the moment is to, you know, think about requiring you to have a larger rear yard setback and putting the tree buffer on your property. That would be my inclination at the moment, but we'll see where it leads. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Walls. Questions?
None for me, thank you.
Mr. Brandaway?
None, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Council?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Type of fence. What type of fence are you looking at? Is it a wood blockade? What are we looking at?
Well, what we had in mind was a metal fence, because we thought that was more attractive than a blockade or a solid fence. We met with the POA last Saturday, and it seemed like there were some of those folks who preferred a solid vinyl fence, and in essence, a fence is a fence, so it, you know, either way, and we would be willing to do either kind of fence that made them happy. And we also, I think Zach said 8 foot, we were thinking of 6, I think, but if 8 is more, you know, is what they prefer, you know, we certainly could look at that as well.
And I noticed there's a bit of a discrepancy in some of the materials. It says up there that this is 56,250 square foot, and then when I look at the summary, it says it's 67,000 square feet. How big is this proposed? Is it 67 or is it 56?
Well, it's 67.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I know what they did, though. I'm wondering if somebody didn't calculate the little piece sticking off to the
end.
Well, yes.
Just a thought. But you know what? I think you've clarified it. It's 67.5, right? Okay, then. That's what it is.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. All right, gentlemen, if you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2074, Quail Valley 1525 LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2074? Okay, we're going to alternate one side to the other. We're going to start over here with this gentleman who has his left hand in the air, and then we'll get one from this side. That's him?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, and members of the commission. I just handed Ms. Cornwell a copy of a letter that I wrote to the commission on March 26th. The letter was written by myself as a resident of 33653 East Hunter's Run. My name is Frank Piorco, and the letter is subsequently supported by 59 of our neighbors who oppose this project, not because we have anything against the developers, but because we think the use is grossly out of character with the surrounding residential neighborhood. In fact, we met with Mr. Garrett last weekend. We spoke about a lot of efforts that were offered up as a way to ameliorate some of the dramatic impacts to our community. And I have to tell you, speaking for myself and many of our neighbors who have signed on to support that letter, we don't think we're there yet at being comfortable with the fact that the dramatic negative impact to our property values, to the noise, to the light, and to the overall character of this commercial site in an AR1 zoned area as a conditional use is anything that we're ready to sign on to yet. We didn't see a photoshopped version of the trees 15 years from now. In fact, we haven't even seen a rear facade of this manufactured building that we'll be staring at, in some cases, 15 feet from property lines. So to answer the question, the nearest property line is 15 feet from the edge of that building, as we've been told by the designers. We may argue about 5 feet here or there. In many cases, there is no room to put a 30-foot buffer. So we have been told repeatedly that the design of the building is constrained by utilities, by cost, by a lot of different measures. And whether or not we can get to a better design in the future, I have to say that I'm shocked that something this large and this impactful is being considered as an AR1 conditional use. The other AR1 conditional uses that were pointed out this evening along Savannah Road, none of them can compare to what's being proposed here tonight as far as a relative size and scale. The Sussex County AR1 zoning, as you know very well, describes the intended use in addition to agriculture for the protection of watersheds, water resources, forest areas, and scenic value, and at the same time to provide for low-density, single-family residential development together with such churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or are normally compatible with residential surroundings. So I take exception with Mr. Mandela's presumption that this conditional use is a slam dunk. I think it's far from it. We are anticipating in excess of 500 trips per day. We can only imagine how many of those folks leaving this complex are not going to turn left on Savannah Road, because folks don't turn left on Savannah Road now because of the traffic. They'll turn right, and they'll turn right again onto Parker Run and come through our community as a great number of school traffic trips come through right now. That's unimaginable right now. We all subscribe to the quality of life here in Sussex County, where private property rights of individual homeowners are held in high regard, and where communities rely on appointed and elected officials to uphold those rights for our well-being. That's why we choose to live here. Please be sure the individuals that have signed on to support this letter are clear in one regard. We oppose the proposed project based solely on the notion that, in our view, the proposed use is not compatible with the current zoning or a conditional use as identified in the code. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. We don't think that that applies to our communities. We ask that our local and appointed elected officials support our view that this proposed development is not consistent with the surrounding community character and defies the premise of an appropriate conditional use. Thank you very much.
Could I ask you just a,
yes, sir,
a question? And for the record, you had mentioned the negative impacts on your community. Could you elaborate on that? What you feel those negative impacts are?
Sure. In addition to what we've discussed already with a facility that's open at 5 a.m. in the morning, we've been given no assertion about the times that we would see trash collected, that we would see other public works types of operations going on within 20 feet of our home. With a 4-foot high fence or a 6-foot high fence, we're sitting in our backyards, we're staring up at a 45-foot tall building. So we haven't seen a facade of the back of that building. The manufactured nature of the building doesn't seem very appealing to me, or those who enjoy living here. We bought into a community knowing that we had commercial amenities nearby. We have a commercial center across the street from us. We have a grocery store with the Weiss Grocery Store, which, by the way, has 268 parking spots. So we're looking at the size and scale of the parking lots over there behind the old Food Line, which is now the Weiss Markets, and imagining what that's going to be like as we look at that and imagine the headlights, the cars, the noise, the traffic from 5 a.m. until 11 o'clock at night. We have a very quiet and peaceful community, and we enjoy that community with our neighbors in Covey Creek who have been there for 20-plus years. So it may have been, you know, a little bit of a sea change for them to accept us when the Villages of Five Points was developed, but we've become neighbors and friends because I think that's what they intended to see ultimately when they looked out from their view to see another nicely planned community. We didn't expect to buy into this community, and we're not naive. We didn't think the 6-plus acres of fallow land there was going to remain there forever. We sure didn't envision this. So I hope that answers part of your question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, someone from this side. All right, with a paper in your hand, ma'am, please. There we go. Good. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Thank you. Hi. My name is Shellis James, and my mother is the property owner at 1517 Savannah Road, which backs up. It's actually this one right here, Carol Short.
Okay.
It's my understanding that at this point we're just talking about a fence between the properties. But I think my main concern, and I apologize that I'm not entirely prepared, my mother's been discussing this and I've read some of the correspondence. I think our main concern at this point is that the proposed gym and physical therapy center is mainly the gym part. The hours are inconsistent with much of what's happening in Quakertown. The commercial buildings and businesses in the area are mostly doctor's offices. I believe there's a church. But they're not dealing with anything that is has hours anywhere near as extensive as 5 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. Also, the sheer size of the project isn't consistent with other commercial, which are mainly medical facilities that are in the area. And it's sandwiched in almost completely by residential property. with Kobe Creek, which actually I think has been there longer than 20-some years, because I remember it when I was a kid. The newer...
Well, it couldn't have been more than 20 years ago.
And the newer villages of Five Points East, and obviously my mother's property, which backs up directly to it, property, which although it might not be relevant, which it was my great-grandfather's property. Actually, that entire thing you're looking at on the map was my great-grandfather's property. And her home will continue to be residential, at least until I die, if not beyond. And then, although I appreciate the fact that growth is going to occur, I work for a mechanical contractor. My husband does, and my son works for a very large custom home builder in the area. And growth in building does support our household. However, I believe that it needs to be responsible. And we object to the current plan based on the fact that it's inconsistent with what's in the area currently. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, back over here. Who's next? Yes, sir, with your... Yeah, yes, sir. Come on up.
Thanks, sir. So, good evening, Commissioners. Thanks for this opportunity for us to speak. My name is Rob Coop, C-O-U-P-E, and I live on East Hunter's Run. And in the diagram from your left, I'm the third house in. So, as Mr. Mandela said, Rich and Janet are... invested in the community. I'm invested in the community too, especially in this this project, because it'll be somewhat in my backyard. Some of the concerns that I have were already expressed by Mr. Piorco, and that's about the size of the facility and what it's going to bring to the area. As was mentioned, the DelDOT study about an additional 500 cars per day. I'm not sure what they're basing that on, because at our April 1st meeting with Rich, and I commend him for coming out to our community and meeting with us, he said his membership now is about 950. But he hopes or anticipates that it'll grow to 2,000 members with this facility. So I don't know if DelDOT's 500 cars was based on 950 or 2,000. But they also had in their letter that on a summer day, Savannah Road has about almost 24,000 cars that travel on that roadway in one day. So while 500 may not seem like a lot compared to 24,000, as Mr. Piorco said, if someone's trying to come out of that facility and they want to make a left on Savannah, they're probably not going to be able to do it. So the alternate route would be make the right into Parker Run, into our neighborhood, cut through to Old Orchard Road, which is now being changed by DelDOT also to connect the West Coast at the intersection there. So it'll be a good thoroughfare for the people going to the gym, but not necessarily for our community. And that would be a concern for us. In addition, it was pointed out by Commissioner Ross, I felt it was a good point. While Mr. Garrett has been very willing to plant trees in our common area, he has not been willing to move his building further back from the property line. So the drawings that we've seen and I see today show a 15-foot setback for his building from the property line. I'm not familiar with what commercial zoning is, but as Mr. Mandela said, it's a more rigorous process. I would expect it's probably greater than 15 foot to have a setback for a commercial building. With a building this size so close to the property line, as far as the visual from the back of my house, from inside my house, I won't be able to see the sky is what I anticipate with the height of that building. So that is a concern for us. And I do think that affects our property values and our investment in this state, in our county, is the value of our property. And I think it will have an impact. And for my neighbors that are not as close to the property, if one of us is to move and this lowers the value of our house, obviously that becomes a comp for them. So it could have a larger effect than just those of us that will back up to it. And that is all I wanted to say today. So thank you for this opportunity, Commissioner.
Thank you, and thank you for your efforts to keep us safe.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody from over here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
Good Good evening to all of you, and thank you for letting me be here, to all the commission. We are relatively, my wife and I.
And your name is?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Robert Murphy. I live at 33666 East Hunter's Run, so I am right across the street from the planned development. Okay. Just to give you a quick note, my wife and I are new to Lewis. We moved here just about a year. We closed our house just about a year ago in the East Villages.
You're not by yourself.
What I want, I'm sorry?
You're not by yourself.
No, I know. But what I was so impressed at, what I want to say to all of you who may have been here at the time when this was master planned, the villages were master planned. We come from Long Island, which is too dense. When we came down here, when we drove into the villages, I was so impressed with the master planning that was done in terms of the central, you know, commercial things with the apartments, the townhouses, and then the single family homes. I said, these people know what they're doing. This should be a model of sustainable housing and sustainable development across the country. And so that's why we bought. We said, wow, this is exactly what we wanted. This is what we've been looking for. So that's just the background. Again, as others have said, we never thought that the property would remain empty forever. But again, I think in our minds, we had thought if it's going to be something, it will probably be residential. So now why all of a sudden are we talking about something that was master planned, if you will, with commercial being in the center of the villages and so on and so forth? Why are we now all of a sudden expanding this in the huge way it's being expanded? So it just seems out of context to decisions that were made years ago when the villages were first conceived, again, which I applaud everybody who may have been involved in that piece of it. So personally, again, we will be affected, I believe, as many of our neighbors have said, to the negative. I don't think this is going to add to our property values. I think it's going to have a very detrimental effect on all of us. It's a quiet, anybody who knows the villages, it's quiet, it's a lovely community. I'm concerned about all the pieces I said, about traffic now coming through Parker's Run, just the amount of traffic coming up and down Savannah Road, which is already. But more important, I'm mystified, and I guess with all due respect to the developer who I know has tried to reach out to the community, I don't understand why he placed the building where he placed it. I mean, if it's going to be a building, to me, that's the worst place in the world. Look how close it is to the neighbors. With all due respect to others, I don't know why the building isn't oriented to the south, if it was going to be oriented anywhere, if I can just point out. Why wasn't it over here? At least, and again, I'm not trying to pit neighbor against neighbor here, but look at the setbacks over here. They're enormous, enormous amount of setbacks. And I don't accept the fact, so again, my preference is that it be residential. That is, if it was going to be developed, I'd much rather see it being done residential. If this is what the commission and the town or county wishes to do, I would say I think the building needs to be completely reoriented. I also don't accept the fact that for economic reasons, they want to go with a manufactured building. I understand from a developer, he wants to cut his costs and build the building as cheap as possible, but I do think that redesign is in order.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back on this side. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for letting me come here today. My name is Janel Maris. I live at 33665 East Hunter's Run. So when I was very pleased to hear some of you talk about the fact that there are going to be neighbors and residents who are going to be very impacted by the building. I happen to be one of them. My house is the fifth house in. So as you can see, I am located directly behind the 40-foot building that's going to be put up and the scale. Like the other gentleman, Mr. Coops, spoke about, I won't see the sun. I'll be in constant shade for the rest of my life in my backyard. So, I like coming out of the dark every once in a while. So, and everybody else has talked about the things that really matter to us in the community. The traffic is just already difficult on Savannah Road. This is going to make it even worse. And the entrance is less than 100 yards from our entrance. So it's just compounding this problem. The scale, I know that they will try to put lighting in that will have the lowest impact, but they're still going to be open until 11 o'clock at night. I'm still going to have lights and headlights and things coming at us until that time. So I just looked at it, and it's just really difficult to even see from this drawing the scale of this 15-foot setback. There really is no place to put green space on 15 feet. You know, especially if he's going to put a fence up and then some green space. He is, the only way that he can create some kind of green space is to intrude onto the property of the Village of Five Points. So I just am here to say this is going to impact me personally as well as the whole community, and I just think that the commission needs to think about how this really matters, and is it the right place for a project of this size? It might be a good idea, but it just seems they're trying to shoehorn a huge building onto an unusually shaped parcel that really doesn't lend itself to that type of a scope. So, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir, right here in the front.
Good evening. My name is Art Sullivan, a resident of East Village. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak about this tonight. Really, what I'd like to do is paint for you a better picture of what that property line looks like right now, because I think this drawing, not deceptive, but just is not accurate. So if I could approach the map and maybe highlight a little bit better. My house is this house right here. These trees do not exist. They're not there right now. The trees that are there now, there is a row of green giant trees, I think they're called, separated, maybe 5 feet in between them, but they are just about on this property line right here, okay? So, and there's 15 feet on the other side of those trees to this building. I totally agree with Commissioner Ross with your thoughts on probably giving us some more room there to allow the developer to put trees and shrubs on his side of the property. I have grandchildren, I have property that I own here, and there's open space beyond that is owned by the Village of Five Points. I like that open space. I don't want it filled with trees to block a building that I right now don't even know what it's going to look like. So I hope that I could just paint a better picture for you of what this actually looks like right now. It's not quite like this rendering. Thank you.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, we're back on this side. Yes, all the way in the back, green sweater, I think. Yeah, there we go.
Good evening. My name is Joan Desiderio. I live at 33664 East Hunter's Run. Just one point, because we talk about safety when we look at these things, and we're talking about the traffic turning right coming into Parker Run. A brief point of interest. Our speed limit is 15 miles an hour throughout our village. I doubt the people pulling in out of a gym onto our roads are going to go 15 miles an hour. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Back over here. Yes, sir, on the end here.
My name is Vance Parker. I live at 100 West Wild Rabbit Run, which is very close to the right-hand side of that monstrous parking lot. The feeling of, I'm also the current president of the Covey Creek Homeowners Association. I sent emails out to 50 of the residents, and I got 15 responses that were negative, all feeling that this is totally out of character with the current neighborhood and the current area. I didn't get any positive responses. I had one that was kind of neutral, who said they weren't sure one way or another until they saw a little more about it. I guess our major objection is the fact that it's a huge... It's almost like saying I'm putting a shopping center, a small strip mall in with 300 parking spaces that's going to run almost around the clock. And myself and our neighbors feel that that's totally out of character for this particular area. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Back over here. Yes, ma'am. Your hand here. Okay.
My name's Lucy Angeline. I live at 3363 East Hunters Run, and our house is actually this one right here. And we purchased this house a year ago, and we both work at the University of Delaware, and this is our dream home. And like everybody else said, basically, our house is here, and that building's going to be right there, pretty much. So you can put an 8-foot fence and trees. When I sit out at my patio, you know, we're looking at a big building, and it's just really something to consider. I'm not against anybody's dream of building a gym and, you know, his business and whatnot. There's chicken houses right there right now. We knew they were going to put something back there, but we thought it was going to be homes or maybe townhomes and not a big wall that we were going to stare at. You know, we put all our money into this home and this our dream to retire down here. So that's it for us. So it's all in your hands, and I don't know what else to say, but it's just something to think about, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Back on this side. Anybody left over here? Yes, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to address you all tonight. My name is Tom Muglioni. I live in the villages of Five Points each. I'm actually on the other side of the neighborhood, so I don't look at this directly. A lot of our community is, as was pointed out, we had a bunch of signatures. But most of our community is adverse to the property as it exists, as it's proposed. And I think the effect on the prices of our homes is really paramount in our mind. We're very concerned about that because the visual effect on this property is going to be negative in many, many ways. I think the inconsistencies as you all try to consider things, and I know you're all very, very much into the detail and you will get to the bottom of it, but the first one that comes to mind for me that really bothers me is conditional changes on properties that are addressed on Savannah Road are what they are, and I know they were pointed out very clearly. This property is very unique because the only thing that's on Savannah Road is the entrance. Everything else is sandwiched in between residential properties. The older private homes, which you were addressed by one of the owners there, the Covey Creek property, and then our East Village property. So it's not really on Savannah Road, only the access is. So I know that if you look at it on paper and it says Savannah Road, somebody that doesn't really inspect this carefully, that might not come out all that clearly, and that's my biggest concern. That's one of my major concerns. The other piece to the puzzle is, and when conditional approvals are given, I don't think that they will include the consistency of the changes that have been discussed. With all due respect to the owner, he's 24 hours a day now. He wants to increase this business by 100%. He wants to double the membership at least. What will happen if a lot of the membership begins to walk and he doesn't get there with his limited hours finishing at 11? And I think 11 is awfully late for it anyway, but there's nothing to prevent him from 6 months from now saying it's built, I'm going back to 24 hours.
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is. Well, that's great. That was why I asked the question first, and then
you pointed out this is a conditional use application, right? And with a conditional use application, the commission has very wide latitude to place limitations. Good. One of the limitations we can place is the hours. Operation.
That's great. Okay, that was a question I had, and I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. I think that covers what my questions were, and I tried not to repeat things that were already said by my neighbors, but again, I appreciate it and thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Yep. Thank you very much. Okay, back to this side. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Margaret Flanagan. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. I also am a recent transplant from the New York area. I live on East Turner's Run across the street from Mr. Coop, who has already spoken to you, gentlemen and ladies. I can't emphasize more the impact of the traffic on Savannah Road. It frightens me to think we have on Savannah Road, we have the firehouse, we have the hospital, We have numerous medical facilities. At any given time in the morning and in the afternoon at about 2:55, we have a tremendous number of school buses coming down that road from both the grammar school that's down the street and Cape Henlopen High School. The other day, I tried to get out of Parker Run to make a left to go to a physical fitness facility. I could not get out for, I mean, it was probably about 6 minutes in order to make the left turn to go towards downtown Lewis. If this facility is constructed, for me to try to make that left-hand turn when I've got everybody else either coming out of that gym or entering that gym, it is going to make it really problematic. But I also, again, I just like to emphasize, I worry about the number of ambulance calls that we have on Savannah Road that come down from the hospital. The school buses, they're all going to be fighting with people coming into that facility and exiting that facility. So I would ask that you take that into consideration as a safety factor to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Back to this side. Anybody left over here? Going once, twice. Okay, we'll come back over here. Anybody left on this side? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Charmaine Thomas, and I also live in the Village of Five Points on East Hunters Road. I'm not directly in any of the photos you're going to see, but I feel as if this is going to impact our home and our community in a lot of ways. My husband and I are both retired law enforcement with 50 years of law enforcement experience between the two of us. We moved to this community because it was quiet, because it was neighborly, because it was the kind of place we wanted to retire and the kind of atmosphere that we wanted to live in. And we're concerned about the fact that a facility that would be open till 11 p.m. in the evening and 8 p.m. in the evening with the additional foot traffic, car traffic, would change just the very essence of the reason we moved into this community. We're not blind to the fact that there needs to be some type of development there. We understand someone owns a property and somebody wants to do something with it. We understand that very much. But we really felt as if that piece of property was going to be developed as part of that greater parcel, which was residential. You know, we would like to keep our community safe. We would like to keep our community quiet. We would like to keep our community the way that we bought our house and envisioned for it to be for many years to come. So I thank you for listening to me. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out. Okay, this is the last call. Anybody anywhere, either side of the room or the back? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions or comments, anything you want to add? Okay, then. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before I close the public hearing, first of all, I want to thank all of you for making the trip, and thank you for your patience. You have been a very well-mannered and orderly group. Now, human nature is that when I say the public hearing is closed, you're all going to want to get up at one time and start talking. I'm going to ask you to get up and leave and then start talking, because we have additional business we have to do. But I understand how it is. It's kind of like getting out of school or going out to recess or whatever. So we're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you. All right, then, our next public